Our research at the COE, I work with Rob Bossart. My focus is on LGBT health disparities, so I wanted to bring that to veteran mental health and suicide risk research. And I'm going to overview three projects that we have, go through them in a hot minute to give you just a glimpse of what we found and how that relates to what we know about LGBT veterans, which actually is very little. So the demography of LGBT service people, Gary Gates' group at Williams Institute has done some really wonderful work with census data and the American Community Survey to estimate that about 2.2% of military personnel are probably LGBT. And their estimate from U.S. Census data looking at same-sex partnership, they estimate about 3.3% of veterans in the 2000 census were LGB. What we know about LGBT populations in general is that they have a myriad experiences with health disparities that are associated with suicide risk and poor mental health, including higher prevalence of early life stress, including sexual abuse, parental physical abuse, and peer victimization. As I said before, this contributes immensely to poor mental health, including depression, anxiety, and substance use disorders. And we know that there's a higher prevalence of self-injurious behavior, suicide ideation, and attempt. But what we don't know is that they're actually dying by suicide more, because there currently are no data in the U.S. or really anywhere worldwide except for maybe Denmark, where this has been possible to look at in terms of sexual identity and gender identity. So what very little that we know about sexual minority veteran health disparities is that some of the preliminary work that we've done has shown a higher prevalence of suicidal ideation. There's a really great study in 99 by Harrell looking at twins in the Vietnam-era twin registry, showing that the gay male twin had a higher prevalence of suicide attempt and ideation. And then Booth and colleagues did a really great study looking at sexual assault and substance abuse among women veterans and found that women in same-sex partnerships or who had a same-sex sexual encounter had higher prevalence of sexual assault and substance abuse. So there's a need in this population. And just an example of how we want to think about health at the margins and intersections. So we know sexual minority populations have a higher risk of poor mental health and suicide ideation and attempt. We know that veterans have a higher prevalence of gun ownership and higher risk for firearm suicide. But what we don't know about is the people that sit at that intersection, and that's what we've been trying to do. So our first attempt at finding that data, because currently there are no way to identify LGBT veterans in either DOD or DV or Department of Veteran Affairs data. So we hit the streets and went looking for some population-based data sets to try to find them in there. Our first one was to look at the 2004 BRFSS data set, the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System data out of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We looked at the family planning module. This is a very imperfect way of finding this group. We were able to identify same-sex partnered veterans. So out of a total sample of over 300,000 people in the 2004 BRFSS, only 146 qualified to get the family planning module. We excluded people who were not partnered or not sexually active. We excluded active duty people, and blam, that only left us with about 100, actually exactly 100 same-sex partnered veterans. And that's how the other groups fell out there. And I'll just summarize some of our key findings from that. Is that when you look at same-sex partnered veterans compared to their same-sex partnered non-veteran peers, they were much more likely to have firearms in their home. However, they were much less likely to have firearms compared to their opposite sex partnered veterans. There was interestingly no difference in frequent mental distress, despite reams of literature showing that there is a clear difference in mental health outcomes in these groups, but it could probably be artifact that's a very small sample size of only 100 same-sex partnered veterans. And interestingly, in 2004, there's a question about VHA service utilization, and we found that same-sex partnered veterans and compared to their opposite sex partnered veteran peers, there was no difference in VHA service utilization. So sexual minority people are turning up at the VHA. We have no way to know that, though, in our current data systems. So we expanded this to look at a 2010 BRFSS, where there are actual measures of self-identified sexual orientation. So people could actually self-identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual in some states. So we pulled the data from these states, and we crossed that information of self-identity with the veteran question to pull out our sample of sexual minority veterans. The outcomes we looked at were frequent mental distress again. We looked at sleep problems, social emotional support, and life satisfaction, all variables known to correlate with suicide risk. The total sample, just over 75,000. We excluded the active duty people, left us a little bit higher number of people. You could see here in the blue, those are the sexual minority veterans. You could see that the patterns across frequent mental distress and the other outcomes, they more closely align with their sexual minority non-veteran peers, and there's a similar parallel disparity between the sexual minority veterans and heterosexual veterans and the non-veteran counterparts as well. So our key findings is that sexual minority veterans do experience increased odds of poor mental health outcomes that are related with suicide risk, particularly mental distress, low satisfaction with life, and sleep problems. But we think that this difference is more tethered to sexual identity than it is to their veteran identity. But this could be synergistic effects, we're not sure. It requires further research. Our last project was looking at actual veteran data in the electronic medical record looking for veterans diagnosed with gender identity disorder. So this would actually encompass a very small subset of a transgender population. Not all transgender people are diagnosed with gender identity disorder. We crossed our cohort of veterans diagnosed with GID in the SPAN data that Rob had mentioned earlier. This is just quickly what we found, that the period prevalence is doubled since we could find and identify the GID veterans in the data. The incidence proportion is hovered around roughly the same, but it's higher. The incidence of GID is higher in the VHA population than it is among the general population. And this is the results from our looking at it in SPAN. You'll notice that they have drastically higher rates of suicide-related event than their non-GID diagnosed VHA peers. And that's just a metric from CDC Whiskers. So our key points here, the prevalence is higher, of GID is higher among this population than among what is estimated for the general population. But this is, I preface that by saying this is an underestimate of transgender veterans. Transgender veterans are much larger than just a GID diagnosed group. And it's unclear if once diagnosed, these patients stay in the VA. We don't know if they are diagnosed and leave. There's lots of follow-up with this. But we do know at this point now, suicide risk is a major concern for this group of people. So there are many limitations across all these projects. I just kind of picked out some of the more glaring ones. That there's problems with misclassification. These are very small sample sizes. We're doing the best that we can with the limited data that we have at our fingertips right now. And clearly very limited generalizability for these groups. But I do want to make the clearest point in these conclusions is the first one, that sexual orientation and gender identity as social identities are not suicidogenic. I can't stress that enough. There's nothing inherent about sexual orientation or gender identity that makes a person suicidal. It's the social determinants of health that we need to focus on, not the social identities that are tied to them and acting as proxies. This includes victimization, some of the things I mentioned earlier that they have a disproportionately higher risk for. VA suicide prevention efforts need to be aware of sexual and gender minority veterans as a priority population. Again, the data are so limited right now, but hopefully there will be ways to integrate this more into the electronic medical record. And these are things that are recommendations. The Institute of Medicine just came up with a report recommending that sexual orientation, gender identity be included in medical records. There's a need for this. These populations are vulnerable to many, many health disparities, both mental and physical, and without being able to identify them and to provide proper screening or service or just to be aware of it is doing these populations a huge disservice. And they've also just been recently included in the new Healthy People 2020 vision to eliminate LGBT health disparities in the country as a national public health priority. Bam.
Thank you very much. You not only you took less than 10 minutes, so I commend you on that. Thank you. We do have some time for questions. First, before we start questions, let's give the presenters a round of applause for all their work and their research. I will take a moderator's privilege before I just go to the questions, and I want to specifically thank John for his research regarding LGBT veterans. Being a veteran and a gay veteran myself, I think that this is research that is very much needed, particularly having served under Donastro-Ntell and now it being repealed. I think this is really great research, and we can move forward in exposing some of these issues and then also reducing the stigma and getting treatment for these service members and, of course, all service members as a whole. Okay, so I see that there was a question right here. Oh, I would ask that you please stand up so that way we can hear you. And you can. And the panelists are up here, so they'll need to turn around and maybe come up and so they can see you. Don't you all jump up at once to answer. Ira?
Good question. VA and DOD are collaborating to develop the practice guide that will summarize the evidence-based border this. The theme of the clinical practice guide is that the suicidality should be treated in addition to treatment for other conditions. Some of the treatments for which there is best evidence for effectiveness are very structured and will take short-term psychotherapies like cognitive behavioral therapy,
I think we have time for one more question. I'm sorry, but that will conclude our session. The presenters will be up here if you want to have a conversation with them one-on-one. Again, thank you for coming to the session. Enjoy APHA and enjoy your afternoon. Thank you.